in Parshas Veshchanan. So we have here, the first piece is about tefillah, obviously. We're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, davening, and so on. So he says, Yikur binyana atfila sofikahu, v'huzeh. There's a problem with tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu is the biggest of all people, yes? He davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that we'll assume is the ultimate of davening, and he wasn't answered. The pasuk says, V'shchanasem evrono, V'yemar shal rab l'cho. V'hine says, Mashayora adova nigzar I efshe shivat la'atfilo. It appears that the statement made by the Torah is that which has been decreed already, tefillah will not be avatel. In kein, yoyim ha'oim, kishav avod alikim, this leads to sort of a sense that what's the point of it? If you can't be mevatel, then what's the point of it? So he says like this. Vatshuva bazeh, shatfilah mo'ilot egzar din al kaponim. First of all, tefillah does help before there's egzar din. One. So the Ikrim says that the deciding factor is not whether there was a Gzar Din. The deciding factor is whether or not there was a Shavu with the Gzar Din. And he brings Chazal, it says, and he brings the Rai from Chizkiyah that there was a Gzar Din already, and we and still his tefillah worked. And therefore, tefillah didn't help. So, the Ikrim says the klal is shvua is what makes the difference between a gzar din that can be nispatel or not nispatel to tefillah. And then he says a second category, v'zeh hevdol sheish ben yochid l'tzibur, shayochid ein gzar din nikra sheish shomer shavua, v'shal tzibur hu nikra tzibur tefillah. So a tzibur, even in a place of shavua, can be mevatel. So at any rate, on a practical level, for us it makes very little difference. We have no awareness where it's holding in terms of gzar din, in terms of shavua, and so on. So certainly for us, tefillah is important no matter when. It is true that there are times when tefillah will not help, and that's another aspect of when people's tefillah is not answered. One can also attribute it to the fact that it is after the Gzar Din. Okay, the next piece is Rabbeinu Bechaya, it's a Drasha Saran, that he says, he speaks about the juxtaposition of Devarim v'Eschanan, and he says a very interesting insight about Tochach in general. V'Eschanan Hashem Beis Leimor Yedua, he says, Ki mi sheyirtze lahaisha is Adam shevo dvarmah. If you're trying to correct a person who's done wrong, who's strayed, Yaisa shebishnei drachim, there are two ways in how you can set him straight. Ha'echad mehem, one is, she'du muvasai b'yachichu alel l'yashav l'kisla. You tell him what he did wrong, and you give him a lot of tochach on it. Ki kolzman she'yal ma'enim ha'tose she'choti yashav shememenu. As long as a person is in denial about what he did wrong, he cannot do tshuva. It's when you have when you point out to the person what he's done wrong. A sick person will not get well if he denies the fact that he's sick. Now, I want to just point out something. When he speaks about tochacha, he doesn't say yelling and screaming and coming down on the person. Tochacha in its core means pointing it out to the person so that he cannot deny it. Tochacha in Lashon Kodesh, tochacha comes from the same word as hochiach in meaning to prove. It comes from the same word as nochach, meaning opposite you, in your face. It's something that you cannot hide you can't put your head in the sand. You're forced to confront it. Tochacha, at its core, is simply the making the person aware of the chet. It's true that since a lot of times emotionally we'd like to deny it, so yelling and screaming helps strip away some of those defenses. But the core of it is not—it's not the yelling and the screaming per se, but rather it's the forced awareness. We're assuming the person is good. The person wants to do good. He is not doing good because he's oblivious to the chet, either because of simple ignorance or because of studied ignorance or because of rationalizations. And when we remove that, what's left is the person having to confront the chet. Aderech Hasheni, who the second way is, Sheyde'ehu Shumuchon Lahasig Maile Gdola, to tell them that there is great hope for him. He is on the road for greatness. She'im kol ma shehev, despite the fact that I'm wrong, who oh benirtzet mishri yitzalakivoy, he is beloved to the one that wants to bring him close. I think there's a bit of a chayah later on that says the same thing, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he adds the following, and I think it's obvious. They come hand in hand. These are not two, sometimes, you know, choose one of two tools. It's, let's give a mashal. Let's say you have a bal chayah, let's say you have a rat. Sorry for the mashal of a rat, but I guess that's the common used mashal. And you want to chase him away. So if there's a hole in the wall and you chase him towards the wall, he will go into the hole. If you corner him and there's no hole to go to, he's going to try to attack the person or whatever. And when you corner, when you want to drive somebody, something away, if you want to direct them in a certain direction, then you use a carrot and a stick. But if it's only stick, then his other choice is to try to get rid of the stick. So if I have somebody whom I've filled with the understanding and inspiration that he has a great place to go to, and then I show him how the place that he's at is not a great place, the vast majority of people will choose to go to the place that's great. So if I say, yes, you can be somebody important, good, noteworthy, etc., and where you are is not that way, if it's genuine, most Baradas will choose that. But if I don't give them that choice, I tell them you're hopeless and you're gone, so what's my other choice? My other choice is either to consider myself hopeless, or I can try to attack you and rip you to shreds. That's the only choice you're giving me, really. So both of them are needed for it. And then he says, "V'zeshem akosav." That's what the pasuk says. V'shanan. V'yisav Hashem bi lemanchem loyshom elai. Kashpo was angry at me because of you. U'v'seid al dvarim omar gam bi yisanam shem galchem le'magato Hashem. In Devarim he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at me and told me that's why he can't come. And here he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry and he didn't listen to me. So Duran is medayik. These two psukim sound on the very, very surface as being the same. Not at all the same. Vein piercing because it was not the same. In Devarim he's telling him HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished me was because of you. And this is all sort of part of the package of the averis that you've done. You did an averis so big that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to schlep me into it so that you also don't come to Yisrael. Avol kan loba al kavanazos. He's not over here. That's not what he's saying. He's saying in verse Chanan, it's a parash of Nechama. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to tell Moshe Ben Shachtel Klai Yisrael how good they are. Hoydiyam Shashem Balasham Lukhailam Likvidas Israel. He says over here it means it's in your honor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to listen to me. Because Laman means on your behalf in a positive sense. When I want to say I'm doing it because of my friend so and so, I say Laman, you know, Shmoy Biahava. Because I like him, that's why I'm doing it. Biglalcha means because in the negative. Because you've done wrong, that's why this is happening. It's a difference if you think about it. Lashon Kodesh stands well. Laman yirvu yimeichem. There are exceptions, Baruch Hashem biglali and so on. But the distinction is, he says, in Varim he says, it's your fault that I was led into Yisrael. In Vashchanan he's saying, because you weren't left in Eretz Yisrael, it's for your honor's sake that I also, if you didn't deserve Eretz Yisrael, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has removed my honor as well, because your honor is so precious in his eyes. And secondly, the second nuanced difference in the Pesukim is, he says, Mitzurev kilamalo musav al sakas. In the beginning he's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished me because of you, and over here he's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't listen to my tefillah because of you. So you have the two nekudas over here, both in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished me because of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't accept my tefillah, which is exactly the same as, did I get into trouble because of you, or in order to save your honor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to me. So Moshe is teaching us that the world of Teichacha requires a push and a pull. It requires showing a person what he can be and prodding him away from where he's at. Next piece is Rabbeinu Bechaya, and he's speaking about the point of going to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is pushing very, very hard to go to Eretz Yisrael. And he's saying something along the lines of, "After hachiloisas avdechot, you've begun to show your eved the greatness and so on." Now, Matan Torah is the biggest fireworks there are. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, if we read the pasuk in Pshat, it's saying the following: "Kadosh Baruch Hu, I just began to see the fireworks. I can't wait until I see the real fireworks in Eretz Yisrael." But there were no real fireworks in Eretz Yisrael. You know, it was kind of small nisim, and that's it. So what's Moshe saying, Atachiloisa? About Derech HaPshat, the Rebbe Mechai says, Atachiloisa, Yevaya in Yemat and Torah, Shratah Zavuk Shmada. We're describing Matan Torah, not the nisim, but Matan Torah. And that's why he's using Abdecha, he says, and the Godlecha is written in, is also mentioned by Matan Torah by David Godloy, Yad Chazaka. Rabbi Bechaya usually does point out all the remazim of where these lashonos are used at Matan Torah, and he says, "V'kishur aksuvim kain." This is the way the pesukim fit together. Ata chelos losis Torah al yadi, ve'einika Torah ba'aretz. You started to give the Torah. And the main and Torah beikar is not Yisrael. Va'masu tzarim gemor ken evno ve'era. Kach pirush mori agadol rash neru rash mizrashba possibly. The rashba was his rabbi. I want to explain that. The Torah itself on many levels is given for Eretz Yisrael. First of all, something mundane. Somebody once pointed out, for instance, take the mitzvah of sukkah. The place where it fits most naturally, the seasons and you know the weather and everything else is Eretz Yisrael. Most places in the world, sukkah is either too hot, too cold, not good. You have all of the pratim of the mitzvahs fit most neatly in Eretz Yisrael, the terms of the zmanim, everything. It's just on a practical level, the mitzvahs click best in Eretz Yisrael. One. Two, many of the mitzvot are shaykh on Eretz Yisrael. Zroim, all Zroim shaykh on Eretz Yisrael, Kotchim are shaykh on Eretz Yisrael, so on. It also means, like the Ramban says, that the Iker Kiyum, in other words, Mitzad de Ruchni Shabo, Eretz Yisrael is the place that things realize their full ruchnius potential. Is it something we can get a handle on why? No. It's sort of part of the mystical quality of it. But this is the place where mitzvahs are meaningful. It has something to do with the fact that all nations, it says that all countries are under a sar, which means the natural order of things dominates. So a mitzvah is an extraordinary act. And extraordinary by definition means it's not part of the natural rhythm of things. It's kind of, it goes beyond the Teva. Beyond the Teva is wonderful, except that it's not within the Teva. So this is not, it's something that I see as being outside of the of that place. Eretz Yisrael, it's Mahalach is a direct Hashgacha Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the world of mitzvahs are effectively the true world of Torah. That's what it's about. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Moshe Rabbeinu's taina takas baruch, Moshe Rabbeinu's bakasha was, listen, you've started me on Torah. I haven't seen the fulfillment of Torah yet. I haven't seen Torah in its complete fulfillment, and therefore I'm asking to let me see the totality of it. Next piece is a Sfarnu, and he also is addressing the point of why Moshe wanted to go to Yisrael. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu's going or not going to Yisrael, what's the point of it? So Sfarnu says as follows, and it's interesting enough, Shachaim says something very similar. So the Sfarnu explains that Moshe Rabbeinu's going into Eretz Yisrael would have meant Klal Yisrael could never leave Eretz Yisrael, would never be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already been geyser that they would be sent to Galus, so he couldn't have Moshe Rabbeinu coming. I want to explain this, because this is a very, very important concept on many levels. First of all, the idea that Moshe goes in, they would stay there permanently. Why would that be? So we have to understand there are two levels of Hashgacha in the Bria. There's one level which is the Tachlistika Hashgacha. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants X in the Bria. And the second level of Hashgacha is peripheral supportive Hashgacha. In order to have X, you must have Y, you must have Z, so that's also part of it. Let's give an example. When you send out an army, the people shooting at the other people are your army. But every soldier shooting needs to have somebody schlepping up bullets, needs to have somebody cooking food, needs to have somebody doing a lot of other supportive work, blasting a road and so on, and it's all part of the army. So the army itself the people actually standing and shooting guns may be a small fragment of it, and then you need a lot of support. In Hashgacha, we identify those mahalchim that are core mahalchim, this is what Hashem wants, and we identify yanim that are necessary for that. The Sfasema speaks about the Klal Yisrael going out of Mitzrayim was part of, is medayik, a whole bunch of things. The Ani Hashem, Ani Lo Malach V'Sarach, means that it's part of that core process. Anything done through a Malach means it's periphery. Anything done through HaKadosh Baruch Hu means this is it. This is what we want. The mahalach of the fact that v'achakeit v'chushkadol l'sisifu l'irsus Mitzrayim, the iser to go back again, there's a finality to Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is because it's over with. So So anything that's part of the core process of hashgacha is permanent. That which is sort of ancillary, supportive, and so on, is not permanent, because you only ship the food when the soldiers need the food. It's always there as a chetimtza. It's never the thing itself. So Moshe Rabbeinu's hanhagas were the permanent hanhagas. His Torah is permanent. Nevuah is nitzchol adaris nitzchol shetzol loydach nevuah. Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu is nitzchias. Moshe Rabbeinu is the goyel from Mitzrayim. It's a final geula. We left Mitzrayim. That Mitzrayim is never again going to be shavar hazal, and so on. So all those in Yanim are in Yanim of Moshe Rabbeinu belongs to the realm of things that are permanent. Had Moshe Rabbeinu taken Klal Yisrael into Mitzrayim, that would have become permanent. And HaKadosh Baruch had already decided to send them to Golus, and therefore couldn't be. Now the question begs itself, why not? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wouldn't Moshe Rabbeinu's going into Eretz Yisrael have taken care of that problem? So it would be very similar to something else in the Chumash. When Adam HaRishon sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to die from Eitz HaDaas, and therefore, and it said, "Oy vey, he might eat from Eitz HaChayim, and then he would never die, so let's ship him out so he can die." But that begs the question. If the reason that eating from Eitz HaDaas was bad is because it would kill him, and Eitz HaChayim is sort of the cure, so what's the problem? So let him take Eitz HaChayim, and then he gets to sit around Gan Eden. Well, where's the issue over here? So the answer is as follows. Let's give a mashal. That you have paintings, and you have types of laminations, and that you can put on it that doesn't allow anything to touch the painting, that keeps it safe, preserves it. You have waxes you put on the floors that keep the floor, keeps anything from touching the floor, and so on. And we put it on as a protective device, and so on. Let's say a person, one of the prerequisites, one of the most important prerequisites for having a, for when you laminate the thing, or when you put the coat of wax on floors, it must be perfectly clean. Because if it's not, that permanence will also include the speck of dirt, or the marked areas, or whatever it is, and then you really have a bad problem. In other words, to eternalize an issue is worse. What we're supposed to do is clean it out again, clean it well, and when it's perfectly clean, then put the lamination or the wax on it. The tachlis is not that we live permanently. Tachlis is that we live permanently with tov, with perfection. The need in order to the person needs to have a perfectly clean and clear slate in order for the permanence to be good. So had Adam HaRishon not eaten from Eitz HaDaas, he would have been perfect, and then Eitz HaChayim is the ultimate of it. But now Eitz HaDaas, he's flawed, and eating Eitz HaChayim, and death and suffering is a process that somehow weeds out the bad from the person. It somehow cleanses it. So that's what we have to suffer. Had the Eitz HaChayim been there just to keep us alive forever, we would have lost the ability to perfect ourselves. The same thing with causing going to Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already detected issues that required Golus to work it out. The Chet HaMeraglim or the Chet HaEgel or whatever chatoim there were there, meant Klal Yisrael was entering Eretz Yisrael under less than ideal conditions. If we eternalize the issue, then we have a permanently flawed Klal Yisrael Chas Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not allow Moshe to go in, and what happened was subsequently the issues that Klal Yisrael had worked their way to the surface. They then destroyed Klal Yisrael, and then and but the Kaisel can rebuild itself without the Sinas Chinam, without the Gilarais, and so on and so forth. Yes.
Really, why does Golos have to be an integral part of that cleaning process? Why couldn't it have been, and there's other ways to, or are there other ways to...
Well, Golos has tons of suffering with it. I mean, Golos includes in itself every other aspect of suffering, but if it's a good question, especially since Zarif Tishabov, let's sort of put a finger on it a little more deeply. We have many tsaros associated with Churban Beis HaMikdash. The things were destroyed, Kaza was butchered, we went into gullus between the Amim, and so on. Why do we put a thing on the gullus? Why is that sort of, we speak about the gullus as being the point? And the answer is as follows. Just like when a person dies, what falls apart is the Tzuras Adam. In other words, all the pieces together and the bond of it falls apart, and that allows for the cleaning, so to speak, of each and every piece. We say the way the puzzle has been put together, it's a flawed Tzuras Adam. Let's start again from the beginning and put it together again. Klal Yisrael in Golus is the equivalent of a body that's disintegrated. Each and every cell might still be around, or every molecule, but they are not together. We, so to speak, are taking it apart in order for its tikkun. So the Yisurim and all those things are specific elements. We suffer this because this and this and that. But the Golus means the disintegration of the Klal as a Klal. The only place where Klal Yisrael exists as a Klal is in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Golos represents what death represents to the body. So even though Lamashal, if you take a look at the Pasha of Chiyas HaMesim Yecheskel, take a look how it says, I saw Atzamas Yevashos, I saw dried out bones. And the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, he made a Nevuah and the bones came together, they became skeletons. And then flesh and skin came on top of it. And then a ruach came into them. But that first point was they were scattered bones. And b'derech klal, when you bury somebody, what's left is scattered bones. In other words, what you remove from a caver are bones unconnected, but the bones remain b'derech klal. So the Klal Yisrael is taking... It's as if when they go into Golos, all the bones of Klal Yisrael fall apart and they have to be put together again. So the process of cleansing Klal Yisrael is to destroy the Koim of Klal Yisrael, the way Koim of Sodom is destroyed in death, and then you deal with the pieces. The Lashon, the Pasuk is, Ubaroisi Mikem HaMorden, I will weed out from amongst you the Morden. So let's give an example. In a different, when a person grows things in a field, weeds also grow. What's required is a selection process where you look at each grass and you say, this grass is good, this grass is not good, this grass is a weed, and so on. When, as long as Klal Yisrael is together, then the bad and the good flourish with each other because they're intertwined and one feeds off the other. It's only when you take it apart that you look at each one separately and say, oh, this is a weed, this is good, this needs a tikkun, and so on and so forth. Okay, we should be zocha that the Tisha B'Av should be nefach for Yom Simcha, for a little bit 2 days to go, it might actually happen. And, but, okay, hold it.